Welcome to Wise Words from a Stubborn Man, a podcast where I dissect and discuss things from the perspective of one man, me, Sahaku. If you're easily offended or get upset at another person's opinion, this may not be the platform for you. I won't ever say I'm the best at any of the things I plan to talk about. I'm just a guy with an opinion. So let's get to it. Yo! What's the groove, baby? We are back. We are back. And if you're still here, I just want to... let me clap it up for you. Your dedication to being a part of this abusive content dropping relationship that we have here is commendable. I appreciate you. And dare I say it, I love you. And because I love you, I now have a new name for my fandom. I've now settled on one name to call the people who rock with me. You are a part of the cool table. Yeah, we making a grinding beat on the table. We frying niggas over here. You are just a part of that fandom, aka the cool table. And being a part of the cool table, you get exclusive shit, right? Now, I ain't really too fancy yet. I'm still learning. I don't got no goodie bags for you niggas. I just have words of encouragement and positive reinforcement and the occasional, hey, I'm going to get better at this shit. But if you just so happen to be on YouTube right now, guess what? There are visuals with this. You guys, well, you didn't really make this happen. I put all the work in to really make this happen. But you guys get to experience the first drop of the podcast on YouTube, which is this episode right here. And this is a great episode, by the way. I think the content of this episode will be both informative and hilarious. But like I said, if you're still here, I want to thank you. But the job's not finished. I need you to share this with everybody. Share this with your niece, who's a freshman at university right now. She's trying to find herself. She has a lack of identity because she grew up in your terrible ass family, and she's just trying to find herself. Share this with her. It won't help probably, but it'll point her in the right direction. If she hate this shit, she'll probably find some shit that she do like, but she's gonna fucking love it. You know why? Because it's gems. I speak from the heart when I talk to y'all on this pod. But that's enough of that spiel. I guess you're probably wondering why you're gathered here. This episode, because, you know, the last one I talked about the protagonist being in the driver's seat of your own life. Before we get into the episode, let's break bread. Now, we're going to do something different. I don't have any bread to break because setting up all this goddamn equipment, I forgot to get the bread. But what I do have is something equally as interesting and as good. So we're going to sip some good liquor to a phenomenal episode. So let me go take a sip of that. Oh, spectacular. Take another sip. Oh, yeah. So, you know what inspired today's episode? Something that I have not seen in a very long time. A good rom-com, actually. I didn't see a good rom-com in a very long time, but lightning struck. And recently, I got a chance to watch the TV show, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Now, I won't give any spoilers to those who haven't seen it. I'm not going to go into it. But what I will say is that a good rom-com serves two crowds. It serves a man and a woman because we think differently. We enjoy different things. Some niggas like, they might like hella action. Some women might like hella action, but they might like the love story tied in betwixt it. And Mr. and Mrs. Smith, dare I fucking say it, it mends them together very well. And that got me to thinking, like, damn, I ain't got no bitches. Like, I have zero bitches, right? And that collapsed into a further thought of why I don't have no bitches, right? Because I got to say it. Like, you can't just be like, oh, shit, you ain't got no bitches. I don't have no bitches because dating for me over these past 2 years has been the most garage door experience ever. The shit's up, it's down, it's up, it's down, it's up, it's down, it's up, it's fucking down. Now, I didn't want to record this episode to be a bitter nigga. No, that version of me is long gone. The jaded, bitter Eric, that's long gone. If you want that, you go check out Eternal Sunshine of a Thoughtless Mind. That was my bitter Eric episode, where I was jaded with dating and all this other shit. Me, now, it's not that I didn't understand. It's not that I have some newfound perspective or some shit like that. It's that I've cracked the code. Back then, you know, I don't want to quite say that yet. Because I want to break this up real swift-like. And I want to first start off by saying, dating is what you make it. Some people are going to listen to this episode. They're going to be like, hey, yo, man, that nigga was speaking real shit, talking about dating, and I learned something. Some people are going to be like, yo, he full of shit. Some people might be like, yo, you don't know what the fuck he's talking about. I say, I really don't give a shit, because this is just my perspective. I'm not talking about dating for how it should be. I'm only talking about it from my perspective. I want to give men out there who are thinking about some shit, as far as this dating realm out here, I want to give y'all a couple pointers, nigga, a couple stories. And what better way than to start off with the one thing that I learned above dating and everything else? Is that you are essentially dating the concept of how that person views love from their childhood, how they seen it growing up. You might meet a motherfucker who you feel like, yo, they got all these great intangibles and all that shit. But then when it comes to like fucking with you, you realize that they was raised on a chaotic type of love. They view love as chaos. They view love as drama. Like, I got to have a little bit of drama or you don't fucking love me. They view it that way. And you may realize like, damn, I always felt like with love, you got to fucking earn it. And every time I meet a chick, if she ain't putting her best foot forward, if she ain't trying to fucking learn me and do all this, you want her to earn the love that you had to earn growing up. Some of us got real deal fucking issues as far as how we conceptualize relationships and how them shits is supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? I used to think that my shit was like, I saw my parents be married for 30 plus fucking years and counting. Why it ain't working for me? You know why it ain't working for me? Because their relationship is their fucking relationship. This shit, relationships are not flat, across the board, the same shit. Not at all. Well, what might work for somebody is for sure not gonna fucking work for somebody else. That is a guarantee. I have a home. Although he's not with his ex anymore, this nigga used to do some of the most grandiose simp shit I ever seen. I call a spade a spade. I thought it was grandiose simp shit. But then I realized, like, nah, that's just what the nigga doing for his girl. That's just what he feel like she worth. Granted, the shoe fell up. She wasn't really worth that shit. But I still understood I'm a simp for the chick that I like. My man's taught me that. Wholeheartedly. You know what else he taught me? You gotta keep him guessing, boy. She got loose on his ass. And that nigga been hurt ever since. So he taught me two important lessons. Man, it's okay to simp for your shorty. But also, hey, keep her head on a swivel. Goddamn me. Keep her head on a swivel. Now, relationships, another reason why I brought them up is because, like, dating for me over the last 2 years has been a little bit crazy. Like I mentioned in the protagonist, the last 2 years have been the longest years of my life. Like, trying to better my life has been, extensive. It has been extremely extensive. And while in this journey of learning myself, like I said, it's been the loneliest shit in the world. Bettering yourself is a lonely fucking road. You don't got time for shit. You always second guessing. Imposter syndrome is at an all time fucking high. And you're asking yourself some tough ass questions and you're looking for some even tougher answers. Now, that was just me on a solo tip, searching within myself. Relationship-wise, it was even worse because, nigga, I was coming home lonely as shit. The shit was like the same cycle, nigga. I was school, work, get off work, eat, shit, shower, sleep, wake up, do homework, try to do some videography shit, go to work. Get off work, shower, well, my fault, shit. Because if you shower before you shit, you're diabolical. That's a side tangent. But if you shower, then shit, you might as well hop back in that bitch and start your day over. But it was the same cycle. If niggas have ever seen that movie, Nobody, it's a little montage of this nigga doing the same thing. The nigga dragged the trash can to the road. Punch his clock at work, take the bus home, drink some coffee, and it's the same cycle. That's all it was. When I had to decompress, I went to the crib. Just by my goddamn self. Lonely as fuck. Craving some type of intimacy. Now, granted, in between these times, there was a nigga going on a couple. Yeah, of course. You know what I'm saying? Of course. I need to have something soft to fucking communicate with and talk to. You know why I did that? My pops gave me some of the greatest advice. I, at the start of this journey of self-improvement and trying to better myself and finding a passion that I really love and stick to, which is the cinematography, the videography, I told my pops, I was like, yo, I don't know if I can focus on dating and all that shit. And my pops said, hey, you do know that, shit, whenever you accomplish one goal, you're just going to put another goal there. It's a never-ending cycle. So while you're sitting there waiting for all your shit to be in a row, who you going to meet doing that shit? I said, damn, Pops, when you're right, you're goddamn right. So I tried to be as forward with my intentions. I tried to be as thoughtful as possible. I said, you know what? It's operation get a motherfucking girl, nigga. It's operation build your future, nigga. It's operation, hey, man, work on them grandkids so your mother can get off your ass. I mean, plus, you know, a nigga eventually do want kids too, but my mom's was on my ass. Nigga, you ain't never had my mother on your ass. She was fucking every other word. Hey, grandkid, you know what I'm saying? That shit was getting tough. So you compound all them thoughts between this fucking hamster wheel of a fucking schedule I got. I was going through it because I had a lack of intimacy. I had a lack of a lot of shit. But last time I had that experience happen and shit like that, I was going through some of the toughest shit in the world. So, spin the block right here. 2 years ago, right? I went to my frat brother's wedding. I had a date the very next day. The date goes fucking great. 4 days later, both my uncles pass. That's that episode you heard, The Ones We Leave Behind. Both of my uncles passed away in the same day. Two of them to the stomach. Navigating dating while going through that shit is... There are no fucking answers for this shit. There's no answers for this shit. I overthought everything. At that point in my life, I overthought everything. It got to the point where, and ladies, hilariously enough, when y'all say niggas don't give other niggas advice, I was talking to my homie Randall. I told my homie Randall, I said, hey, man. I was talking to a shorty at the time. I said, hey, man, I don't know. The communication is terrible, nigga. I think I'm going to fall back. He goes, hey, bro, you know, maybe you going through a little heightened emotional shit right now because, you know, you just had some tragic shit happen. So you should probably just send a text message just filling it out. I said, nah, fuck all that. I said, yo, fuck all that, man. We got to get to the bottom of this shit. And because I was going through a heightened emotional state and I was fucking tweaking out, I was like, I just jumped out the window. I said, yo, man, you don't really fuck with me like that. And maybe I put too much expectations and all that shit out there. And nigga, when I tell you I got like shit on directly after that, and not shit on in a bad way, it's just shit. You know, whenever something doesn't go your way, you feel like you got shit on. So young niggas, single niggas out there, when you're going through a heightened emotional state of some shit and you're trying to date, this is what I need you to do. I need you niggas to take a step back. Take a deep ass breath. Try to level yourself out before you fucking jump out the window. Now, granted, on my end, did I jump out the window? Yes. But was I fully tweaking? Fuck no. Because one thing that we got to understand here is that if a woman does not reciprocate any of the feelings that you feel towards you, intent, communication, verbiage, wordage, any of that shit, get the fuck out the gym. It's the season of niggas getting the fuck out the gym. Recently, I found myself on a two-man adventure. Completely by accident. Just out, met up one of the guys, two of the guys. One of the guys, he's on a date with his shorty. I'm sitting there with a lady on my arm. I'm fucking going back and forth the whole fucking night, it seems. Even prior to that, we're going to be honest. This was months in the making of me just like throwing a filler out there. Like, hey, look, here's the thing. My intent is to date you, to get to know you, because I think we look good together. Those, you, like I said, fellas, those intentions, they're honest. They're already out there. So this particular day, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I ain't getting no type of love back. Everything is kind of like standoffish, dry. I'm like, boy, oh, fuck, oh, boy. We get to this fucking artisan taco place. Artisan taco place. I'm not going to say the name. Because in hindsight, the place sucked. I just drunk a lot of liquor, so shit started tasting all right. But that place was trash. We in that bitch chilling, chopping it up, having conversation. I look over across the way. My man's is with his shorty. She got the hand on the thigh. They're nice and cuddled a little bit. I'm sitting next to the shorty. I damn near got to jump out my chair to get some energy in this motherfucker. And it was in that moment, nigga, where I felt like If any nigga ever seen The Mummy Returns, at the end of the movie, you got Lord Imhotep, the bad guy of the movie, but it's another bad guy, fucking Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Scorpion King. He turned, you know what I'm saying? This nigga Imhotep turned mortal so he can fucking kill the Scorpion King. The protagonist sliding that bitch, Brendan goddamn Fraser. I mean, you niggas know about Brendan Fraser. He and that bitch. Him, Imhotep, get the fight. Somehow, them niggas fall into this pit. Fucking demons and shit grabbing at them. This nigga, Brendan Fraser, his wife come up, help him, save him. This nigga, Imhotep, he yelling for his shorty. You're knocking that move. Shorty look at him and hit his ass with the, I gots to do bad by myself. And leaves this man to die. The look on his face, the nigga go, for real though? That's how the fuck I felt. On that damn accidental double date, G. It's almost like, G, when you, as a man, you are not gay, you are not sassy for craving intimacy from a woman you like or that you're trying to date or that you're dating. Because those are the things, or that you're seeking to date. See, where shit gets fucked up at is, niggas don't know when to get the fuck out the gym. Once I felt that shit right there, nigga, I knew. I knew I was out the gym. Because I was like, yo, you don't like me like that. If the only time I ever see you is if I plan it, you don't like me like that. If I text you and it feel like a chore, you don't like me like that. If I text you and the shit is dry, you don't like me like that. If we're allegedly dating and you try to make me feel corny for wanting to fuck you, you don't like me like that. And I want niggas to understand that. Get the fuck out the gym, bro. Stop wasting your time with women who don't give you no fucking energy, bro. It's called the dating game for a reason. The dating game is the dating game, and those who play it are the motherfuckers who are losing. I do not have time for a lot of shit. So whenever I have to prioritize a woman, especially these current situations of dating, getting women to understand, like, yo, I drove 2 hours to see you, to spend time with you, to kick it with you. So not only did I have to change my fucking schedule around, hold on, man, I'm fucking sweating like a motherfucker. Let me wipe some of this off. Y'all just gonna have to see this on the goddamn camera. Jesus, boy. I wish I had my fat nigga towel. Most times you're supposed to keep a fat nigga towel, but I only had paper towels. But like I said, man, it's there are signs that a motherfucker just don't like you. Don't sit here and listen to, I don't give a fuck what somebody tells you. I don't give a fuck if she try to gaslight you, nigga. If you don't feel like she like you, more than often, she don't fucking like you. Nigga, I got ghosted on April Fool's. That's my most recent stint with this shit, nigga. I got ghosted on April Fool's. And I didn't even ask for the situation. Didn't ask for the situation. Do you think I'm going to rack my brain to find out where it went wrong? Fuck no, because guess what? If a motherfucker don't want to be there, if a motherfucker don't want to communicate with you, get out the gym. And ladies, I don't want to do the one-sided advice on this. Everything applies on that end for you as well. If a nigga out here being inconsistent, not telling you shit, if you're communicating and he not communicating, he don't like you like that. Get out of there. Now, I'm a little bit laxed on the advice I give to women because y'all don't take it. Y'all want to make y'all own decisions and then play victim at the end. That was my shot for the day. Bah, bah, misogyny. I'm fucking around. I love you, ladies. I am a little misogynistic, but I do fucking love you. But ironically, a lot of this shit has to deal with, like I said, you're dating the childhood and how they view love and all this other shit. Which is why a lot of women hate love and basketball. This is my side tangent of the day. Let me cook real quick. It's a lot of women who hate love and basketball. It's a lot of people who don't understand love and basketball. Love and basketball is the antithesis of what the fuck I'm telling you right now, which is Monica and Quincy, growing up, you saw their parents' relationship. You saw how they viewed their parents' relationship. Monica's parents, mad traditional. Her mother was a fucking stay-at-home mother. Pops worked at a bank and shit. But Monica fucking loved the basketball and all this other shit. So that's where she found solace at. The escapism from her mother wanted her to put on these fucking dresses and be ladylike and all this other shit. Because she saw it as like, you're fucking up type shit. And that's probably a terrible explanation of that part. But then you flip over to Q's side of shit, and it seems like his mother is living a life of luxury because his pops plays in the league and he's traveling and he's always on the road and shit. And he idolizes his fucking father. Idolizes his father. And then they grow up and then they look at their relationship as they get into it with each other, and everything is blissful and all this shit at first. But neither of them know how to deal with the aftermath of how they view love and when that is tested. And you know when that gets tested? When this nigga Q finds out, hey, Papa was a motherfucking rolling stone. Cheating on his mother. Broke the family up. Remember that nigga said, hey, I got enough money to keep your ass glittering. Gucci and gold. That nigga thought he could buy the love. Shattered this nigga Q's whole fucking thought process. Everything he wanted. Then you got Monica on the other end. Who, when this nigga Q is going through this shit, she don't know how to be fucking nurturing to him. Because she's rejected her mother's teachings her entire life. She never wanted to be like her mother. So therefore she never learned a completely different other fucking side. Just letting you know. But people don't understand that that's really what love and basketball is about. Yeah, it's a little rom-com, a little story like that, you know what I'm saying? But it's essentially about, yo, how they grew up, how they viewed love, how they viewed their parents' relationship, and the role that that played and how they treated each other when shit got rocky, when shit got a little offbeat, you know what I'm saying? That's all that is. But that was my side tangent, man, that really tied it into there. But, you know, I really just want to drive the point home. She don't like you like that. That was fucking time I got left on me, man. She don't like you like that, man. She genuinely don't like you like that, man. I wish that I could tell you niggas that all women are the same. But even that's not true. Now, granted, a lot of women may treat you the same, but that don't mean that they are the same. I know that's confusing to some niggas when they hear it, but look, it'll make sense to you one day. A lot of women will treat you the same, but they're not the same. And the funny part is, nigga, you just got to find one. That's all I'm really trying to do. I'm just really trying to find one, step to the side, get out the game. You know what I'm saying? I'm not really... I just want to flat out say this. I believe in monogamy, right? I've never been one to casually fuck around and do all this other shit. We'll drop dick off at the, you know what I'm saying, just on a special occasion. On a special occasion, I may go on a little DDT, a little dick dropping tour, just on a special occasion. But me personally, I believe in monogamy. I believe in companionship. I believe in a person finding their tether, you know what I'm saying, their emotional tether, their other half. And getting the fuck out the way. That's what I believe in. And so I try to practice what I preach. So when it comes to women and all this shit, I don't like wasting time. I don't like leading motherfuckers astray. In fact, I'm very upfront and honest. But boy, oh boy, when I tell you, getting that level of communication back, getting like, You know one thing that, like, kind of bothers me? When I talk to certain women, G, I kind of make this expression of how I'm like, yo, you know, my birthday, I really enjoy my shit. Like, I really enjoy the celebration of my birthday. And if a motherfucker's not able to see me on my birthday, then, you know, I'm a words of affirmation guy. I like words of affirmation. In addition to that, as a creative nigga, I create shit from uncertainty and then give that uncertainty to the world to be judged. When I'm, like, doing relationship shit at the I don't want uncertainty. I want certainty. Certainty makes me feel safe. And when that makes me feel safe, I feel comfortable. When that makes me feel comfortable, I love to be vulnerable. But I've noticed something recently that the women that I'm choosing, which ultimately I have to choose better, because if the shit ain't working out, the choice ultimately falls on me. I have to choose better. But boy, oh boy, when I tell you, like, I think up front you got to establish honest communication, especially men. Because I know some men who say shit like, we don't want to fucking hear the truth like that. Hold on. Get some sweat droplets happen again. Get that up off me. It's niggas who sit there and be like, yeah, we don't want to ruffle no feathers and do it. Fuck all that. When vetting properly, you're going to have to ask some uncomfortable questions. You got to get your timing right, of course, and shit like that. But you have to ask some very uncomfortable questions. Your credit terrible? You got a train ran on you? You know what I'm saying? You got to ask shit. You got to ask shit like that. Ask your nigga that too. Ladies, ask your nigga if you ever got a train ran on him. You got to ask these questions. Because some of you ladies are dating bisexual men. And you think you can handle it. You think you progressive. Until that nigga tell you he had something in him. Now you looking at him crazy. Now you think he's soft. Ask these questions, ladies. Fellas, ask these questions. See if motherfuckers hiding families. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you got to ask him. Hey, can you... What's your pH balance? What's your... Like, you gotta ask very tough, hard-hitting questions. But that's because you really, like, in getting to know a motherfucker, finding somebody who you're equally yoked with, who you're compatible with, that ain't no, like, one fell swoop-ass thing. That's something that you, one, you gotta learn, and then, two, you gotta work at. Fucking hate to say it. Those are things that you just gotta learn and that you gotta work at. But like I said, the dating game is the dating game, though. The people who want you to fucking post on social media, like, that shit don't never really matter. People who pressure you and gaslight you, those are not people who you want to be with. You got to be with people who you want to be with you. People you want to have fun with. You know what I'm saying? Matt Damon, Emily Blunt, The Adjustment Bureau. You got to go through uncertainty with a motherfucker. That's what all of this shit really is. It's the hard choices. And you know what I'm saying? That's just what a lot of people don't like to talk about. But I've rambled for a long time. Let me get my Saha scripture and I'm going to get the fuck out of here. My Saha scripture for today is, don't be a bitter nigga, man. Don't be some old run-of-the-mill, bitter-ass, jaded-ass nigga. I used to be that. But that was only for like two summers. It was only for like two summers, man. I was real heartbroken and shit like that. Bitter, heartbroken, all that shit. Between women saying they was disappointed in me and all this other shit, backfired on your boy. But for you, nigga, I think the one thing that men should start saying is like, bro, relationships aren't corny. Relationships don't always end bad. It's just that niggas don't never tell niggas, hey, bro, do your due diligence. Because here's the thing, right? 50 single niggas in a room, that don't look happy. Now, 50 married niggas in a room looks like a certain event. I don't say that don't look unhappy. But I've seen a lot of happily married niggas. And because I believe in monogamy, I believe that, hey, everybody has their counterpart. You just got to work to fucking bring it into fruition. And any nigga who sits there and tells you otherwise is fucking lying to you. I think that amongst men, the one good thing that we always wish amongst men to let you know that a nigga really fuck with you, if a nigga wishes you a happy foundation and family and just fruitful family where you got a fucking a house that you work on, nigga, that you pay the mortgage for, you putting the time in, nigga, you got your little shit with your knickknacks and haberdasheries in the back of that motherfucker, and you're doing your thug dizzle and your wife bringing out fucking lemonade and all that other movie type shit, your kids running around, fucking your baby boy is fucking watering shit in the driveway and it looks beautiful. Everybody needs a Irvine. That's from Palm Springs, another rom-com, but that's neither here nor there. All I am saying is that you wish for another, like, all my homies, I wish for them a abundant, happy family where they are at the head of the table and they are just the main pillar of their community and we're building this village. That's what I wish for. Any nigga who don't wish that for their homies, this is what I want y'all to do. Any nigga who don't wish that for you, they wish for you to be out here in these streets. You look them dead in the face. Tell them to go shit in their hand and squeeze. This has been a wise word from a stubborn man. And I'll catch you in the next one.